Shalom to all. Today's office holding up Kufcha Bez. We are starting Kufcha Falfon Bez, the second last line of the two dots with the Kufcha Mishnah. And today's office sponsor is Nishmas Mars Mimsar Bas Yakam Moshe Hernish. I should have an Aliyah. So at the end of the Mishnah, we had said Rabbi Yehuda Omer Ha'el V'chulu. Now we're going back to the discussion of Elel or Elil or Elul. And here we're only talking about the second opinion from the top of the previous Amud, which is that when skinning an animal, separating the hide from the meat, and the knife slips, leaving some bits of meat attached to the hide, that's the Elel. And Rabbi Yehuda Mishnah had said, arguing with Tanakama, that if there's a Kazai, so Elel gathered together, then it is Matame as Nevela. Now the Gemara tells us, Amrav Huna, Vuhu Shekonsai, that's only if he gathered it, meaning it has to be that he dafka gathered this kazayas together, and that makes it into something significant, so then it's actually considered regular nevela meat, as opposed to when he isn't machshev it, so then it's batal to the hide automatically. Yes, it's still going to be mitzar for Shir Eichlin, that's the beginning of the Mishnah, but still can't be considered actual food, because again, it's automatically batal to the hide. Now Amrav Huna, Rav Huna also says, Shnechatzai Zesim Sheshal Gabe Ar, if there's two half Zesim that are on a piece of hide, Ha'ar Mevatlon, the Ar's Mevatl them, that's because since it's not a full zayis of nevela in one spot, it's two separate half zaysim, so the ars mevatel them, they're not chashuv. So kufchav bezam and alpha on top, the Gemara asks, Ali b'deman, according to which man da'amar did Rav Huna say the second statement? Eli b'Rabbi Shmuel, if you want to say he goes according to Rabbi Shmuel, which we're going to have a Mishnah later on, that we have as machlokes Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva, so if he's going like Rabbi Shmuel, well, ha'amar, Rabbi Shmuel says very clearly, loy mevatel ar, that the hide is not mevatel these two half zaysim, and via Ali b'Rabbi Kiva, if you want to say he's going like Rabbi Kiva, well, pshita, this din is obvious, ha'amar, mevatel ar. Rabbi Kiva says that the ar is mevatel a piece that's less than his zayis. So why would Rav Huna need to be telling us his din? The answer is, Elam, I'll leave Rabbi Shmuel. Really, he's going to cheat Rabbi Shmuel, and he's just clarifying that v'chi am Rabbi Shmuel le'mevatel ar. When did Rabbi Shmuel say that the ar, that the hide is not mevatel a piece that's less than his zayis? Hani milas shepotas echayo. That's only if a chayo, wild animal, such as dog, like we had in the previous daf, if that was the cause of his meat being detached from the rest of the meat, and that's why it's still attached to the hide, so then the ar is not mevatel it. Avu potas sakin batel. But if his knife was the thing that had detached it, meaning when he was skinning the animal, his knife slipped and he accidentally left some meat attached to the hide, so then it's mevatalit, and that's where Huna's din was going on. So that's in Shitas Rabbi Shmuel. Now the Gemara is going to ask on this, how can you say that? Tashma, this part of the Mishnah we just quoted, told us that Rabbi Huda says, Ha'el ha'muchunis, if we have gathered El together, im yesh kazayis makam echad, if there's a kazayis in one spot, chayav and all of one's going to be chayav for it, meaning it's considered regular nevela. And v'amar Rav Huna, Rav Huna had commented on that. This was the first member of Huna or Gemara, v'husha kansoi, that's if he gathered it on purpose, he had a machshava dafka to gather this together. Now here's the question, if you want to say that according to Rabbi Shmuel, even when the person's knife slipped, even in that case, the meat is not automatically bottled to the hide, so fine, Rav Huna damar k'Rabbi Shmuel. We can say that Rav Huna goes like Rabbi Shmuel. Eli Arab Baltasai Sakin Rabbi Shmuel bottle. But if what we just said above in the Gemara, in attempt to explain Rav Huna's second statement, is true, that according to Rabbi Shmuel, when the knife slips, leaving some meat attached to the skin, then that meat is automatically bottled, so Rav Huna damar k'man, who's Rav Huna's first statement according to? In other words, from Rav Huna's first comment on Rabbi Yehuda, that the al is only metame as nevela if it was gathered intentionally, so we would learn that when he skinned it with some meat attached to the hide, it's not automatically batal, because if it was automatically batal, he wouldn't be able to have a machshava to gather the meat. It's already batal, and then how would we understand Rav Huna's first statement? So where says, you're right, El Olam Potasai Sakin Rabbi Shmuel, Loi Batal. We have to say that according to Rabbi Shmuel, even when it's his knife that slipped, and that's the cause of some meat being left attached to the skin, Rabbi Shmuel says it's not batal. Rav Huna, Damar Rabbi Kiva. Rav Huna's second statement, then there was two halves Zesim of Nevela on hide, the Arz Mevatal it, that's like Rabbi Kiva. Now if that's really true, so we go back to the original question that we had asked when we suggested this. Pshita, isn't that obvious? That's what Rabbi Kiva himself said. Why does Rav Huna have to tell us the same din? And the answer is that here's the chiddush. Mal d'Tamar, you might have thought to say that Kikam Rabbi Kiva. When did Rabbi Kiva say an azayis of nevela is batal to the hide? That's hanimili potasei sakin. Only if it's his knife which had slipped and that was the cause of the meat being left attached to the hide. Al potasei chaya. But if a wild animal had ripped the skin of the animal, leaving some meat attached to it, loy batal, you might say that it's not batal. So that's what Rav Huna is coming to tell us. Kamash shmalon the chiddush is that times Rabbi Kiva and Benesha are mevatalon. Rabbi Kiva's whole reason is because R is mevatal meat that's left attached to it, if it's less than his eyes, it doesn't make a difference if it was a wild animal that had torn it off or if it was just the knife that had slipped. Either which way, if it's less than his eyes, it's bottled to the ark. As Kiritani Seifa, just like the Seifa that Mishnah says, why is Rabbi Kiva Matar the hide if there's a piece that's less than his eyes attached to it? Because the ark is mevatel it. And that's our final understanding. I continue to talk about the hide or skin of certain things, as opposed to the previous Mishnah, where the hide is not considered flesh, as we've been discussing extensively, that even if there's meat attached to the hide, it's batal and it's not considered meat anymore. Here we're going to see the opposite. Says the Mishnah, Elu Sha'arisein Kibsaron, the following, their hide or their skin is just like their basar, and whatever din the basar has, the ar has the same din, and the general understanding is because the ar is very soft, and therefore it's basically just like the basar. What is this? Ar ha'adam, the skin of a person, va'ar chazer shal yishuv, and the skin of just a regular domesticated chazer. Now Rabbi Huda, where he says, Av ar chazer habar, even a wild chazer, its skin is the same din as its flesh. Also, va'ar chater shal gamal haracha, the hide of the hum hump of a soft camel. We're going to explain what that means. A gamal haracha and va'ar haroshal egel harach, also the skin of the head of a soft egel, a soft calf, and va'ar prasais, the hide or the skin of the hooves of an animal, va'ar beis habayshas, and the skin of the beis habayshas, which literally means the place of embarrassment. This is referring to the genital area of a female animal. The skin over there is very soft, va'ar hashlil, and the skin of a fetus found inside its mother, and va'ar shal tachas ha'alya, the skin that's underneath the tail of a sheep. It's very soft over there, va'ar ha'anaka, va'akayach, va'alata, va'achaymet, and the ar of these four shratzim, these are four out of the eight shratzim, their ar is very soft, and it's really just considered like their flesh, and therefore the din would be the same across all of these, if we're talking about coming from an animal, and the animal's nevela, so the skin itself is like the flesh, so it would be matame tomas nevela. If we're talking about skin from a person, so it's matame tomas mace. And the last four that we mentioned regarding sharet, so the skin is matame tomas sharet. Now we just have an argument, Rabbi Hudaimer, he says, halata kechulda, that the lata that we just mentioned, that's like a chulda, which is usually translated as a weasel, and the chulda has very thick skin, and so its ar is not like its basar. Now the Mishnah tells us something else about the ar of all these things we just mentioned, v'kul and she'ibdan, all of them, if they were processed, which means they were tanned into regular hides, or they were walked on, the amount of time it takes to process them and tan them into hides, this was actually a normal thing. They would take animal hides, put them on the floor outside so people could walk on them. That helped with the processing. So in all these cases, tahirin, then they're tahar, they're not matame anymore, and that's because they're considered like processed leather, and they're not basar anymore. Chutz mi'ar ha'adam, except for the skin of a person, even if it's processed and it's tanned, it's still matame tomas meis. Rabbi Yechon Nuri Eimer, he argues and says, shmeina shratzim yeshlan oiris, that all eight shratzim are listed in the Torah, they're considered to have ar, meaning their skin is not considered like their basar, it's not like their flesh, so he's obviously arguing with Tanakama. Says the Gemara, Amar Ulul tells us, Dvar Torah midai raisa ar adam tahar, the skin of a person is actually tahar. It's not considered like his flesh, and matam amru tame, so why did Chazal, why did the Mishnah tell us that it's tame? That's because gzeir shem yasa adam iris av v'ima shetichim. It's gzeir, maybe a person is going to take the skin of his father, mother, and turn it into a carpet or some sort of decoration, and so in order to prevent that, we say, no, it's matam tomas meis. Now, v'ikdma sila seifa, some teach us memra on the end of the Mishnah. What did the Mishnah say? V'kulon she'ibdon, oishe hilchem k'dei avayda tahirin, that all these skins that we mentioned in the Mishnah, if a person was ma'abed them, he tanned them, he processed them, or even if he put them on the ground and people walked on them, k'dei avayda, so they're tahar because now they're just considered regular processed leather and they're not considered like basar, chutz me'ar adam, except for the skin of a person. And it was on this that Amar Ula. Ula said, Dvar Torah midai raisa ar adam she'ibdai tahar, the skin of a person which was processed is tahar, and umatam amru tameh, so why do they say that it's tameh? Gzer shem yasa adam iris avima shetichin, it's gzer because we don't want people to make the skin of the father or mother into carpets. Now we clarify the difference between these two ways of saying Ula's opinion. Madamasila Resha kol shekena seifa, the one who taught this on the Resha of the Mishnah, so he would for sure teach this on the Seifa of the Mishnah, because in the Resha of the Mishnah it wasn't processed at all. Still you're saying it's only tameh midrabanan, so for sure in the Seifa when it is processed we still say that it's tameh midrabanan, because the same reason, we don't want him turning his parents into carpets. Whereas Madamasi HaSeifa, the one that teaches us on the Seifa, that the skin of a person is tameh midrabanan, aval Resha, what would he hold regarding the Resha? Tumah d'oraisa, that skin of a person which is not tanned, it's not processed, is actually tameh midrabanan. So that's the difference between these two versions of Ula. And we continue, the Mishnah had said of Archazer v'chulu, and we had a machlekes, what about Archazer abar, the skin of a wild chazer? The Tanakhama says it's not like it's meat, whereas Rabbi Huda says it is. Asking more, Mike Mifligi, what's our machlekes? The answer is, my sabar, high ashun v'hai rakech. The Tanakhama holds this is hard and this is soft, meaning if it's a wild chazer, it has hard skin, so basically not edible, so it's not like the meat. Whereas a domesticated chazer, its skin is soft. And Umar sabar, Rabbi Huda holds, high nami rakech, even a wild chazer, its skin is soft, and therefore it is edible, and so it has the same din as the basar. And continue, the Mishnah said, Archatras shal gamal aracha, the skin of the hump of a soft or a young camel. So the question is, become gamal aracha. What does that mean, a gamal aracha? It's soft or it's young. So Armulu Amr Rabbi Shubalevi explains, calls man shalaitana. That's as long as it's never carried a load. It's still young, a load was never placed on it, so it's still considered racha. It's soft. So by Rabbi Yom, he asks, Gias man alitoin v'loitana mahu. Let's say it was time, meaning it's of the age, now we could put a load on this camel, but it happens to be they never loaded it up. What's the din over there? Now, Bayabai asks, Loihi gias man alitoin v'tana mahu. Let's say it's not old enough yet, it's not its time to start carrying loads, but they put a load on it anyway. What's the din over there? Is that still considered gamal aracha? Or since it actually carried a load, maybe it's not gamal aracha anymore. And we conclude, teiku. Now, Yasser Rish Lakish came by Yalei. Rish Lakish was sitting and asking this question, kam gamal aracha? What does this mean, gamal aracha? And I'm only Rabbi Shmuel bar Abba, hachiyam Rabbi Shubal Levi. This is what Rabbi Shubal Levi said, kolzman shalei ta'ana, as long as it wasn't loaded up with a load. And I'm only, what did Rish Lakish tell him? Tivla kibli, which means sit in front of me. That was a gesture of thanks, appreciation for answering this question. So he showed him chashivas by telling him, you could sit in the seat which is right in front of me. Now, we have a similar story that ends differently. Yasser Reb Zeir would come by Yalei. Reb Zeir was sitting and asking the same question, kama gamal aracha, how much, meaning what does that mean, gamal aracha? And Amalei Ravin Bar Chinina told him, hachi amru ula, Rav Shubal Levi, this is what Ula said, Rav Shubal Levi, calls man shalai tana, as long as it wasn't loaded up. Now, Hava Katani La, he repeated it. That's because Reb Zeir didn't respond anything, so he thought Reb Zeir didn't hear him, so he repeated the same thing. And now, after this repetition, Amar Li, Reb Zeir told him, Chada havi l'cha, you have just one, meaning you know one thing that we don't know. That's wonderful. Amarta, you said it again. Why are you trying to show how smart and how big of a chacham you are by repeating this one thing that you know that we didn't? The Gemara comments, Tachazi, ma bein tekife Arad Yisrael l'chasidi de Bavel. Come and see what the difference is between the tekifim of Eretz Yisrael and the chasidim of Bavel. What's this referring to? So takif means strong or harsh, and the native chacham of Eretz Yisrael were often called this because their tendency not to be so forthcoming, and they're pretty selective whom they associated with, and Reish Lakish was one of these takifim. Nonetheless, we see he was very quick to provide a compliment and honor the one who had given him an answer to his question. On the other hand, Reb Zeira, who was originally from Bavel, and he was known as a chassid because he used to make a cheshbon and nefesh every month and then light the oven and sit inside to see if it burned its skin, which it didn't, and not only did he not acknowledge the answer, but he even somewhat embarrassed the one who gave it. And that's why the Gemara is pointing this out. We continue, the Mishnah had said, V'ar harish v'chulu, the skin of the head of a soft calf. So we have the same question, V'kama egal arach, what does that mean, a soft calf? So Ulamar, he says, bench nasai. If it's a calf within its first year of life, that's what it means, egal harach. Now Rechon Amar, he says, calls man shiyonek as long as it's nursing. So Ibailu, that's the following question. Hechika Amar Ulo. What's Ula saying? Is he telling us, bench nasai v'hu shiyonek? Then not only does a calf have to be within its first year of life, but it also has to be nursing from its mother in order for it to be considered an egal harach. And Kofcho Bezo and Bezo on top, V'amar Rechon, and Rechon's telling him that no, calls man shiyonek as long as it's nursing, that means it's either or. Rabbi Yechon's being makel, either it's within its first year of life, or even if it's older than a year old, as long as it's still nursing from its mother, it's still considered egal arach. Oy Dilma, maybe it's the other way around. Ula bench nasai ka'amar ben yonek ben she'ino yonek. Maybe Ula is the makel one. He says it has to be within its first year of life. That's whether or not it's nursing. And Amar Rabbi Yechon, Rabbi Yechon's telling him that no, bench nasai v'hu she'yonek. It has to be within its first year of life, and it also has to be nursing. So Rabbi Yechon would be machmir. What's the answer? Tashma. What did Rabbi Yechon tell him? Rabbi Yechon Amar calls man she'yonek as long as it's nursing. Devim Isav, it's really true that Rabbi Yechon is being machmir. So v'hu she'yonek mi violate. Rabbi Yechon should use a different lashon. He should use the word v'hu and it, meaning it needs to be nursing and only then it's considered gamal racha. But from the fact that he said calls man she'yonek, that tells us like our first understanding that Rabbi Yechon is being makel, that it's either or, either it's in its first year of life or it's nursing. Shema mina, that's a good raya. We're discussing b'minei Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yechon. Reish Lakish asks Rabbi Yechon, "Ar harishal egal arach mahu shi'etma? The skin of a head of a young calf isn't metame." Now this is really our Mishnah's din, but he just wanted to know if the halacha is like the Mishnah. So Amrulay, Rabbi Yechon told him, "Ein metame, it's not metame." So Amrulay, Reish Lakish asked him, "Limatein Rabbeinu, didn't you teach us this Mishnah? Elu sharsin kibsaron va'ar harishal egal harach? That's one of those in our Mishnah, and so really should be metame." So Amrulay, Rabbi Yechon told him, "Al takni teini, don't pester me, don't bother me. Why is that? Because b'lashin yachid ani shaynai saw. I teach the Mishnah b'lashin yachid. It's really just an individual's opinion, and therefore the halacha is not like the Mishnah. And how do we know this? The Tanya, there's a brayse that tells us, if a kohen shechs a carbon oila, and his intention is that he's going to be makter kezayis from the skin that's underneath the tail, and he's going to do that chutzlum kaimai beyond the place that he's allowed to, meaning he's going to do this outside the azara. So possible aim by karis, it's possible. There's no chiyuv karis for a person who eats this. Now chutzlum manoi, if his machshava was that he's going to be makter it chutzlum manoi beyond the proper time frame that's allowed to be done, so pigol v'chayavon al karis, this has the higher, more chomer status of pigol because he had a machshava of chutzlum manoi, and one eats from this animal, he's going to be chayav karis. Now this is the opinion of Tanakama, which is considered the rabbim, and we see that it only mentions one thing from our Mishnah, the skin that's underneath the tail. Now the Rashi continues, Elazar ben Yehuda ish avlam oimer mishum Reb Yaakov, and v'chein ha'yir Reb Shimon ben Yehuda ish kfar ikum oimer mishum Reb Shimon, that it's not just the ar tachasa alya, echad ar parasos, v'echad ar haroishal igal arach, v'echad ar shal tachasa alya, v'chol shaman ucham gabi tumma shar sein kibsaron, and all the things that ucham listed regarding tumma, that their skin is like their basar, lahavi ar shal beis habayshes, this statement was including ar shal beis habayshes, so if the machshava was chutzlam kaimai, pasal v'im b'karis, the machshava is chutzlam manoi, so then pigal v'chayav and all the karis. So we clearly see that this din of ar roishal egal arach is a das yachid. It's only mentioned by this Elazar ben Yehuda or by a few others. It's definitely not the majority, and so that's why we do not paskin like it lahalacha, and that's Rabbi Yechon's full response to Reish Lakish. We continue, the Mishnah had said, v'ar beis haprasos, the hide or the skin, which is by the hooves. So the question is, my beis haprasos, what does that mean, the hooves? So Rav Amar, he says, beis haprasos mamish. Actually, the skin right next to the hooves, that's soft, that's edible, and so that's considered like the meat. However, Rav Chanina Amar, he says, rechuva hanam keresim arayish, that's referring to the rechuva, or earlier in the Masechta we had called it the arkuva, which is sold with the rush, with the head. That's the whole bottom section of the leg, basically from the animal's ankle and down. That entire section of skin is considered soft and edible, and that's what the Mishnah is referring to. We can discuss the next part of Mishnah, which had said, v'ar anaka, and the Tanakhama really mentioned four shratzim, anaka, kayach leta, and chaymet, that their skins are very soft, so they're like their basar, and they're considered 100% sharetz. However, Yehuda argued and said that a leta'a is like a chulda that has very thick skin. So now further discussing this, Gemara tells us, Tanarban, we have a brisa. The pasuk about shratzim tells us, hatameim, namely when it says, eila hatameim lachem, these are the ones that are tamei to you. And then it goes on listing the shratzim. So the rabbis are saying kibsaron, this is coming to include conclude that the skin of the sharus is just like its basar. Now, yachol, you might think, afilu kulon, that this applies to all eight shratzim. So to that, tamalim, the pasuk says, eila. Only these and not all them. So we ask, what's that supposed to mean? V'ha'eila akuluk sivi. The word eila in the pasuk is going on all the shratzim. So how could you say eila is a limitation that it's not talking about all the shratzim? So Amarav, he answers, limineu hefsaka inyan. That the word limineu in the pasuk, that stops the discussion. Let's just read two psukim to fully understand this. One pasuk about shratzim tells us, here we have three shratzim mentioned. Hachaylid, v'ha'achbar, v'hatsav, liminehu. That's the keyword over here. And then the next pasuk tells us, v'anaka, v'akoyach, v'alotav, v'achemet, v'atin shames. That's another five shratzim. And so Rav's answer is, this word liminehu splits up the shratzim, and therefore it's only the shratzim that are listed after the word liminehu, which we say, ayur sein kibsaron, but not the ones before the word liminehu. As the more of that, so v'lachshav nami tin shames. So you should also count tin shames as one of the shratzim, which ayur sein kibsaron, because that's in that second pasuk. What did the pasuk say? So why wasn't that listed in the Mishnah? What's the answer to this? Rav Tanahu. Rav is a Tano. We see this sometimes in the Gemara where we say Rav Tanahu Upalig. Rav is considered a Tano in a way, and so he could argue with the Tano. He was in the transition period in between the Tanoim and Amiraim, so he can actually argue with Tanoim, and sometimes he's even called a Tano. And Vitani, Rav himself teaches Tinshames, so he actually does include it in the list of Shratzim, which are saying is Kibsaran. As the Gemara of Tani Didan, Loi Tani Tinshames, our Tano of our Mishnah didn't teach Tinshames. Why not? So he answers, Tana Didan, Savala Krib Yehuda. Our Tana of the Mishnah holds a Krib Yehuda, the Azal Basar Gishta. He follows Gishta. Gishta is the feeling or the texture of the skin. If it feels thick, if it has a thick texture, so it's not like it's Basar, but if it's very soft and thin, then it is like the Basar. And that's what Rabbi Yehuda and Tana Kama are arguing about in the Mishnah. They're not arguing about a Pasuk. Rav is going in the Pasuk, but they're not talking about the Pasuk. And with Gishta, they'll talk about Flagit. The whole Machlaikas in the Mishnah between Tana Kama and Rabbi Yehuda is regarding the Gishta, this feeling of the texture of the skin of the Lata. Rabbi Yehuda holds it's very thick, therefore it's more like a Chulda, whereas Tanakama argues. That's also why Tanakama does not include Tin Shemes, because he holds that the skin is very thick, it has his Gishta. We discussed the Mishnah said of Chulun She'ibdin V'chulu, that not only if it was actually processed and tanned, but if the skin was placed outside and people walked on it, which is really the beginning of the process of tanning the hide, that even that stage takes away its din of Basar, and it brings into the stage of being called Ar, or hide, and then it's not Tame anymore. Ask more, Hilech in Loi Hilech Loi, does that mean that only if people actually walked on it, so it loses its status of Basar, but if people didn't walk on it, it's still considered basar. But Vatani Rabchia teaches, Aizen Chamar Shatala Lekupasai Tahira. If a person took the ear of a donkey, which has a status of Nevela, and then he used it as a Talai, which is a patch for his box or basket, so now it's Tahar. As what do we see? Tala Afal Gavdala Hilech. See, that simply taking and designating it for a particular use, already then its status of Tome is removed. So the Gemara clarifies that no. Tala Afal Gavdala Hilech. If he used that as a patch, even if he didn't walk on it, that automatically causes it to lose its status of Tome because he did a real Maisa to be Mevatal, its original status, and now he gave it a brand new status. However, loy tala, if he didn't use it as a patch and all he did was simply lay it on the ground, so then hilech in loy hilech loy. It's only if people actually walk on it, but not if they don't. And that's because simply placing it on the ground is not considered a real maisa to be able to mevatel its original status. Now we get into another discussion regarding this. Kam kedei ibud, how much do people have to walk on it to be able to say, okay, now it's considered like the process of tanning was started and therefore it loses its status of toma. So Amar Funamar Vyani says, arbas milin, it has to be 4 mil, which means the amount of time it takes for a person to walk 4 mil, and it takes 18 minutes to walk 1 mil, so 72 minutes to walk 4 mil. So if for 72 minutes there were people walking across it, that's sufficient time to now lose its status of toma. We continue discussing this measurement of 4 mil. The parentheses tells us, Revo Mshum Drish Lakish Amar, according to some criticizes, Amravo Amresh Lakish, that Lagabal for a neater, Ulat Fila for Davin, Multil Sedim for washing hands, our boss Milan, that's 4 mil. Meaning if a person hired somebody to knead his dough, and this professional kneader makes sure to knead in a state of Tahara with all of his Kalim being Tahar, but happens to be this Kalim Artame, so he has a chiv to walk a distance of 4 mil to find a mikvah in order to be taival. But if it's beyond 4 mil, he doesn't have to do that. Also for tefillah, if a person's journeying along the way, he decides he wants to stop, but he needs to daven, so he has to continue walking up till 4 mil to be able to daven in a shul. And in Tilsi Daim is if a person needs to wash their hands to eat, and he doesn't have any water, he has to walk up until 4 mil to find water. Now Rav Nachman Yitzchak, he clarifies, Kufchav Gimel Amud Alf on top, Evu Amra, that Evu said this. It wasn't Rav Avo, like we originally quoted, it was Evu, as just since the names Evu and Avo are similar, that's why we got mixed up of who said it. And Varbai Amarba, he said four things about 4 milin. V'chadminayu Avaida, and one of them, meaning the fourth one, is the din of Avaida of stepping on the hides, which is mentioned in our Mishnah. Now Arias Rachnina, he clarifies, Loishanu El Lefanov, that a person has to walk 4 mil to wash his hands or to daven in a shul. That's if he's walking forwards. Aval Achrav, Afilu Mil Echad in a Chazer. But if he's going to have to walk backwards, he doesn't even have to go a full mil because he's walking backwards, and that's a big tirch on him because really he's going forwards. So I can tell him you have to go backwards even a mil to do this. Rav Acha bar Yaakov Amar, he says, umino, we can learn from this that mil hu deino chayzer, he doesn't have to go backwards a full mil, apachas mil chayzer, but if it's less than a mil, then he does have to go backwards. And one more din, tanar banu v'braisa, legion ha'ivr makam makam, a legion, which is literally translated as a legion of soldiers, is a legion of Roman soldiers. They're going from one place to another. V'nechas l'bayis, and they went to the house. Habayis tamei, the house is considered tamei. She'ein l'cha kol legion v'legion, she'ein loy kama karkaflin. There isn't a single legion of soldiers that doesn't have a number of karkaflin, which literally is human scalps. Kind of sounds like the Indians back in early America. These Roman soldiers would carry human scalps, and those were some sort of witchcraft or superstition to help them in their battles. And v'alte tama, don't be surprised about this. Sherei karkaflin shor b'shmol munach b'resh malachim, because the scalp of Rabbi Shmuel ben Elishu is the kohen gadol. That's at the head of kings. We talk about this by the Sarari Gemachas on Yom Kippur, and there's a whole description as Rabbi Shmuel is being killed. The daughter of the emperor saw that he was so handsome, so she had him skinned alive, and they preserved it, and actually still have it till this day in Rome. So don't be surprised that they had scalps of people whom they killed. We're going to stop for the day and pick up tomorrow with another Mishnah, but for now, everyone should have a wonderful day.